Good morning, all. Nice to see you all here. Today, I'm going to give my testimony, which is my testimony, but it's more to see the great love and mercy and patience and long-suffering of God to just a sinful, rebellious, bull-headed person. And hey, what? He's agreeing with me there. But so my hope is that as a result of this, you will be drawn closer to Jesus and have more faith and trust in him as a result. So please join me in prayer. Oh, loving Father, we just praise you. We thank you for your great love, oh, and your patience. Pray now for the indwelling of your Spirit, for me and everyone in this room here, that we can hear from you any lessons that you would have us learn. Thank you, dear Jesus. We love you. We ask it in your name. Amen. Well, my story began back in August of 1948 when I was born in San Diego. And a couple years later, my parents moved to Des Moines, Iowa, moved back there. Now, at my birth, God knew me. Of course, he knew me from eternity past. But he knew me, and he had a perfect plan for my life. And sadly to say, I did not follow that plan at all, what he had in mind. So living in Des Moines, I was raised there. I was raised in a somewhat Christian family that believed in the Bible, believed in Jesus, went to church every Sunday, and we never had family worship or devotions at home. And parents had, you know, fighting and troubles and stuff. But the good news is I had unbelievably wonderful grandparents and aunts and uncles, just godly people. So it was good to see that and good relationships. And so that was very meaningful to me. So as I went up through junior high school, that's when I started being, you know, petty theft, vandalism, stupid things. And as it gone into the high school, now this was in 64, 65, and 66, graduated in 66. There, my focus turned to cars, drinking, girls, partying. Through high school, I had a 31 Chevy three-window coupe with a souped-up Corvette engine in it. We were out most every weekend racing and doing wild things. Got drunk almost every night in high school here the last couple of years, and skipped a lot of school. So after graduation, I did graduate finally. Friend and I built a sprint car. We raced half-mile dirt back there, mainly at Knoxville, Iowa. Also raced motorcycles, drag raced them. So this is pretty, you know, fun times. Then shortly thereafter, I was introduced to marijuana. I thought, whoa, this is nice. And I pretty much put the alcohol aside for the most part. And so got pretty heavily involved in the drug scene, and a couple friends and I got together, and we were dealing drugs. We were running from Tucson, Arizona, back to Iowa, bringing kilos of pot back to sell, and pretty wild party times then. And back in July of 69, I was friends with a biker group back there in Des Moines, and they were affiliated with the Hells Angels in Berkeley. And that's when Janis Joplin came to town to do a concert. Of course, we went and saw the concert, and through this biker thing, they wanted a place to party, so they came over. Janis and her band came over to our house that night and partied all night long. And I thought, whoa, this is really cool. And shortly thereafter, I went to Davenport, Iowa, and saw Jimi Hendrix. Thought, whoa, this is really neat. Shortly thereafter, they both died of drug overdoses. And I thought, not so neat. And some of my friends died from it as well. Some of them ended up in, the hospital, mental hospitals as a result of this drugs and stuff. And it was, So about this time, somewhere in there, I forget the exact timelines, but I got married to my childhood sweetheart, and we had a son and then twin daughters. You know, about this time then, I had to take things a little more seriously, and I started thinking of spiritual things. And I thought, I was born in a Christian family. Of course, I'm going to be a Christian. If I had been born in a Buddhist family, I'd be a Buddhist, and on. So I thought, I'm going to just clean the slate and just look at all this with an open mind to seek out for the truth. And so I started looking in the Hindus, the Bhagavad Gita, read that, and a bunch of the different things, Yogananda and these people, and, which is 95% of it's just good things, how to live and stuff, and read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and I thought I was figuring it out here pretty much. There's all these different paths, and they all lead to God, and they're all, similar, and it's all good and stuff. And then a pivotal point in my life, pardon me, hadn't read the Bible for years and years. I was in a farmhouse, living in a farmhouse in Polk City, Iowa, just outside of Des Moines. And we had one of those little New Testament Psalms, those little green Bibles there, and it was laying there. I picked that up, started reading it, and there was like a lightning bolt hit me. The Spirit just said, "This is truth." Amen. So I opened it up and started reading, started studying. And I remember it was kind of funny. I was, really into this now. And when I'm into something, I really get into it. And I just talked to my dad, who, he knows the Bible pretty well. And with all his faults, his faith never wavered in Jesus. And I remember saying, the Bible, this and that and stuff. And he said, "Oh, do you believe the Bible?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe the Bible." And he says, "Well, have you read it?" And well, yeah. And he said, "Have you read all of it?" And well, no, I haven't read all of it. And he said, "Well, how do you know if you believe it?" And I thought, whoa. So I proceeded to read the Bible, started studying the Bible, and I was wondering, there's so many churches that all use the same Bible. I wonder what it is. So this brings me to that first text that Kelly read there, Matthew 7:7, which is one of my foundational texts for me and anyone else. It's just ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock, and it'll be open to you. Now, who said that? Jesus. Is that a promise that we can claim? So I was seeking the truth here through all this stumbling around. And so I started searching with some friends, oddly enough, the same drug friends that I'd had. And we were going to different churches. I went to the Church of Christ and evangelical churches and the ones with great music programs and all kinds of different things. And it was just never really clicked with things. And it's still these questions, everything I was learning, it was just like they didn't hook together somehow. And, as I got serious into this, myself and three friends, or four of us, our wives weren't as interested as we were. They liked still the party scene and the drug scene. And ultimately, all four of the wives divorced us. And three of us guys were living together, praying at night and studying and searching. And as it turned out, of these three, One of them, Bob Cornelis, went on to seminary and became a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He's retired now in Arkansas. The other one, John Gillum, he's got a great lay ministry going in Iowa. And then there's me. So another key pivotal point in my life was this John Gillum had gone up to Berrien Springs, spent some time up there, and he came back. I remember it so clear. He said, "Bruce, I got to tell you some stuff." And we sat down for a couple hours, and he just went from eternity past to eternity future with the great controversy story. And it was just like all these pieces that I had here of things I learned and studied, they all just joined together. It was so wonderful. So I can say when I get into something, I get into it. So, boy, I started reading and studying and spirit of prophecy. And this was just great, though, because now I could see what I knew was the truth. So anyhow, now this is years spread out here into these few seconds of time, but I met another lady, and we got married. We had a baby daughter at home in her bedroom, and then we moved to California, had a son there at home in our bedroom, and it was just ideal, this beautiful little daughter and little son, and we were going to the Vallejo Church, and John Loma came as the pastor, and Doug Batchelor was the assistant pastor at the time. My wife then, she was a cradle roll leader, and I was involved with the church, and it was just wonderful. But about 2 years, this little boy was about 2 years old, things started seeming odd, and it got, for years, just horrible things I couldn't even describe. It turned out he was severely autistic. Yeah. So anyhow, our marriage dissolved. And we both left the church. But God still loved me. So after we got divorced, after this, I was in debt, living in a room at the back of a lady's house, and I had the 2.5-car garage with it, which was nice. I had a shop and stuff there. And working Sabbaths, wasn't tithing. And the Spirit really convicted me, finally. This, you know, went on for a while. And it said, I thought, whoa. Thanks, Alex. I thought, this, I can't play games here anymore. Because all this time, I knew the truth. It wasn't like, I knew, I had a lot of knowledge. So I really convicted, and this is where the second verse there, Matthew 6:33, said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you." So I recommitted myself to Him. I mean, I was low down. Started going to church. I got a job where I could get Sabbaths off. A friend came to me and told me he could do it, which is wonderful. And started going to church and went to Fairfield Church, California. And John Loma came as the pastor there, oddly enough. And he's a great pastor, by the way. And so he's in debt, as I said. So I started tithing. And I can tell you, if you've got any kind of financial problem going on, if you have 10 cents to your name, you tithe that penny, at least. God is faithful. So I began my walk with Jesus, and a church, I met a lady there at the Fairfield Church. My now wife, Lee. And we became friends, you know, walking and stuff on Sabbath afternoons. And Lee was having a Bible studies at her house on Thursday night. Now, she gave me permission. Lee has had multiple marriages as well and wasn't looking to get married again, nor was I. But God is so amazing. I took a job closer to home on a 90-day probation with a guy as a service writer at an automotive place, and I'm an excellent service writer. And after that 90-day probation, he said, "You know, you're doing a great job, but it just isn't going to work because our personalities didn't mesh." I was just devastated. I went home and I thought, whoa, how can this be? Because I was getting serious with Lee, and I knew she wanted security. She didn't want somebody in debt with nothing going on. And so this was really devastating. I'm pretty sure it was that same night, Thursday night, went to Bible study at her house. And one of the guys there at the Bible study said, "You know, you ought to do what I do." And I said, "What's that?" He says, "Insurance." Now, I had zero interest in ever anything insurance related. I always worked in autos and trucks and stuff. But it really appealed to me, so I went and got my life license, went to Dallas for a week, started this job, and it worked so amazingly. Everything I'd done in my life had led me up to be successful at this job. We were, you know, it wouldn't take too long after that where I was, you know, at my level there, you know, successful with it. Lee and I got married. My second year there at the company, I was the top agent in the country. And we won a trip, everything covered, to Italy. Stayed 2.5 weeks. The next year, I also did it again and won a trip to France. 2.5 weeks there. It was just amazing things. Every year, we'd go on 2 or 3 trips all over the place, all free, everything free from this company. I was building up income, had residual income. Not a day went by when I wasn't just praising God and thanking Him for His goodness, what He did. I mean, He puts this stuff together. I never could have. And so we moved from Fairfield to Oakmont outside of Santa Rosa, California, a really nice place. Continued to work. We lived there 6 years. I was getting ready to retire then, so we wanted to move somewhere less expensive. That was a pretty expensive place. So women have a special thing, if you don't know it. We were looking online, and I saw this place called Hidden Valley Lake that's kind of appealed to me. The nice places, and the prices were good and stuff. It was like an hour outside of Santa Rosa, so the further away you get from the Bay Area, the prices go down. I thought, well, let's go take a look up there. We'll take a drive and look around. I'm go, go, go kind of down the highway, and I'm heading for Hidden Valley Lake, and we got to just the outskirts of Middletown, and Lee said, Bruce, there's a Seventh-day Adventist church here, and I said, let's go back. When women say stuff, it's good to listen to them, too. So we turned around, went back. They had a school there. We met the principal, her husband. He took us over to the church, showed us the sanctuary, talked to us, gave us a lead for a real estate person. And we went there, met this lady, Cynthia Smith, to this day is just a dear, precious friend of ours. Anyhow, we eventually found a house. It was a foreclosure. It needed a lot of yard work. It was just dirt and weeds, the whole thing. So we got it, a really good deal, and just this time I got a pension buyout from Sears I'd worked at for 20 years in the automotive. That allowed us with Lee's money to put together, and we bought this house. We could pay cash for it. And we did a lot of fixing up there, lived there 6 years. And then we knew we wanted to get out of California. Now, a lot of you heard part starting with this story now, but you're going to hear it again. So we went up to northern Idaho a couple times, Coeur d'Alene area, once in the winter, once in the summer. Loved it up there. Beautiful, wonderful church at Hayden. But it was just too cold there in the winters. So we studied the weather on maps, and we found this little strip right in here that looked like it was pretty good weather, and southern Idaho looked pretty good. So we were planning on coming up here and spending a week here and a week in southern Idaho and just look around. We had our trailer, our little R-Pod packed, but weren't ready to go yet. But then there was a fire warning, and there was talking about evacuations again and again and again. So we said, let's just go now. So we loaded it, came up here, got here to Seven Feathers, parked our R-Pod there on a Thursday night. And we said, we saw something online or something that said, whoa, the church, they're having it's the last night of a four-night seminar. Let's go over there. We can see the church, see the people, and kind of get a feel of things. So we came over here, and Pastor Ken was giving the seminar. And as we got out of the car, the first person that met us was Kelly. And he gave us a warm welcome. Everybody did, and we came in, heard this final talk, which was a great talk. Met these people. And we went home just kind of in a daze, and we both said, this is good. This is the church we're going to, and we're going to live in this area. So the next few days, we probably looked at 20, 25 houses all around the area. Nothing. So we thought, you know, we need to go home, get our house all ready, sell it, come up here with the money and either rent or something, because you have to be there when a good deal comes because it's going to be gone fast. So that was our plan. So Wednesday morning, we were going to leave. We got up Wednesday morning, and again, Lee said, Bruce, the Spirit talked to me and told me we shouldn't leave till Sabbath. And I went, okay, and it's hard for me because I was ready, like, Wednesday we're going, boom, let's go. So we stayed. Friday morning, a house just came up for sale. We went out and looked at it, and we put it, everything we were looking for in a house, I mean, and then some. talked to the realtor, and he said, well, I can meet you tomorrow. And he said, can't, that's the Sabbath. So we trusted God and not doing it on the Sabbath. And we met him Sunday morning. We put in the first offer and the best offer. Now, this is bank-owned foreclosure. It had been empty for 3 or 4 years. House is pretty decent, but it's overgrown. You couldn't, I mean, it was overgrown. It was 3 acres of blackberries and trees. So we came home, back to California, started getting everything ready to scramble and get the house ready to list it. We got our friend, good friend Cynthia. We listed the house there, and the first day, the first person, all cash. And because of the work we'd done there, we more than doubled our money on the house. Now, this house here, it's just the banks, they don't care. They just drag their feet. And it was going on and on. We kept contacting, just, can we get it? Is it ready? Is it ready? And just nothing. So then it came to, the help from people. I'll leave people out, but tell you, when we had our R-Pod and we're going to come up here, we didn't want to drive it back down and back up. So Roy and Jan said, well, just park it at our place. So we parked it there. We sold the house. We had to buy back, I think, 3 weeks rent from them because we weren't ready to come up. We had no place to go. The house still wasn't closed. They hadn't accepted the offer. So I come up to Rogue River to rent a truck because there aren't any trucks for rent in California because everybody's fleeing the state. So Dave Bartlett and Dave Steinbach met me in Rogue River. They drove all the way down there, and I'd only met them just that one time here, a couple days here when we were here before. They met me in Rogue River, drove my car back to Dave Bartlett's house to park it there until we were done, and I drove the truck down. This was December 30th, 2020. No house to go to. Went down there to load it up, and no place to go. December 30th, and then that night when I got home, we just got a message from the bank that they'd accepted the offer. It was recorded on December 31st of 2020, and we took possession on January 1st of 21. Unbelievable. Now, during this process, we were down there, and I don't know if any of you have a lot of stuff. We had a lot out of stuff, and the garage was just full. There was no elbow room of things. We were shuffling around. And so God's just amazing how he works. It just happened that Rick and Kay Cooksley were at Angwin picking up a big box trailer, and we're going to head home with the empty. He called and said, hey, could we pick up some stuff and take it back there? And so they came over and loaded this box trailer with all this stuff in the garage. It just gave us such elbow room. I just don't know if we could have done it without some of these things. He takes it home, parks it at his property because we still, at that point, I hadn't gotten the truck yet. We still didn't have any place to go. Dave Steinbach allowed us to pick my little utility trailer up and park it in his rental with all of our garden equipment in it. And on, the help from people is just amazing. So we get up here with a 26-foot truck, and there's just, I couldn't even count the people that were there to help unload. It was just so wonderful. Unloading the truck, and actually went back and got another one, and they helped unload it. I remember Kay was back at the top of the truck in the back there, up standing up on stuff this high, and there was lumber, and she was pulling this lumber out, and I never forget that. But this is just so amazing, God's taking care of things, which is the third verse here. This is just, I cling to this verse, and just anybody want to hear it, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Has anybody done that before? And how'd that work out? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So you need to do this every day, every morning. I get up. Now, I'm not sure where I stood with God all through this wandering and bungling around here, but I know how I stand with Him this morning when I woke up. And I know how I stand with Him right now. Now, this is all things from the past, and sometimes people have stories like of 20 years ago, something that happened. But God doesn't quit with it. It's just miracles. It's like daily if you look for Him. We were down in California with Cherie. Well, quickly here. Cherie came up here, and most of you heard her story. She fell in love with the church. Nothing to do with the doctrine. She said she'd never be a Seventh-day Adventist. Nothing to do with doctrine or anything, diet. She fell in love with the people. And she said, whatever they have, I want. And now she's an Adventist, and she's going to come up and live with us. So we were wanting to get a tiny home for her. So we were researching, seeing them in Oklahoma and Texas and different places. You know, they're 90, 100,000, and then it's shipping another 20 grand or something. So Lee again, she's at a garage sale. That's one of our weaknesses. And a lady has a tiny home for sale that she'd bought 10 years ago for her mother. Her mother then has passed, and she wanted to sell this home so it wasn't torn up or anything. And she lives 8 miles down the road from us. So she gets this home at a fantastic deal. We move it to our property. It's all set now. Everything's fixed up. And just a miracle how it happened. It's just unbelievable. And we were down at Cherie's and helping her with her garage sale this last weekend. Last weekend? Yeah. So we have signs all up. And the first day, it's Friday and Sunday. Friday and Sunday. So first day Friday, these two guys come, and they're looking around. They bought quite a few things, and they were thinking about some other things. We said, well, go ahead and think about it. We'll be here all day today, and then again on Sunday. And he said, well, why aren't you here tomorrow? We said, well, it's the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath. And says, well, why do you do that? And he said, well, it's the fourth commandment. And I was talking this. He comes over to me, and he starts hugging me and stuff. And it turns out, you know, we transferred here from the Middletown Church. And they were without a pastor for about a year, been praying for him. This guy's the new pastor at Middletown in Clear Lake from Romania. And the guy with him is the pastor from Romania. So it's just amazing. And we could talk and stuff. He said, oh, do you need any help with anything? I just live real close over here. And I think Cherie said, well, or Lee, one of the dudes said, well, we're getting a trailer, a big 6x12 trailer on Monday. We need help loading. So he came by Sunday to see if we still needed it. Came by Monday morning, helped us load the heavy stuff into the trailer. It's just wonderful. And we met so many good people. And finally, the way God works, we got that trailer home. And I start unloading it. Dave Bartlett is, Dave is, where is Dave? Oh, there he is. He told me, he says, yeah, you need help unloading that trailer. Give me a call. And I didn't want to call him. I've used Dave so much, I feel like I've abused his goodness and stuff. And so I was just going to do it myself. I'm pretty good at heavy things, you know, working them out and getting them down. And so I get part of the boxes out of the way, and I get the first heavy item kind of out there. And guess who pulls in the driveway? Steve Stewart. We talk once, well, do you need help with it? And I've used him, too. I mean, I hate to use these people. And he says, yeah, I got to help you do that. And I said, okay. So he helped me unload this heavy stuff. So God's timing is always just perfect to the second. His goodness never fails. He's just so wonderful. And in ways that we don't even know, the ones we do know is enough just to, like, amaze us. But anyhow, if you have any lack of God's faithfulness and trustworthiness, please don't, because he is totally trustworthy, totally faithful. And no matter how bad you bungle along, he still loves you just the same. It's just, we serve a wonderful God. So I'm going to sing a song here now. It's called At Calvary. It kind of sums up my story. And I think they're going to have the words up here. If they do, I welcome you to sing it with me. It's not in our hymnal, but it's a song I just love dearly, the words to it. So look, check out the words mainly, more than my singing. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly serve him as my king. Now my ransomed soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, wonderful Father, how we love you, how we praise you. You are so good. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your faithfulness and your trustworthiness. Oh, Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to learn to love you more, Jesus. We see the way you love us, all that you've given us. You have given us all. You've sacrificed your life for us, and we are so appreciative. So, Jesus, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to walk with you every moment of every day. Help us to be that beacon of light to bring others to you. We thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for everyone here. Ask for a special blessing. We ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.